You may be seated. If you would, I encourage you to take your Bibles to follow along in the reading of God's Word. We're in the book of James, chapter 2. And as you're turning into the book of James, the second chapter, this morning I've got to admit to you, every time it seems like I go to study God's Word, I don't know if you've ever had this feeling, but I feel like water poured out. Just kind of like inadequate. Feeling weak. But therein, where we rely upon the strength of God to supply needs, to give us the word of truth, that it might go forth, that it might affect lives, that hearts would be changed and people would be drawn to Jesus Christ. Here is a heartfelt question as we start into the Word of God this morning. Does your faith make a difference in your life? Not does your faith make a difference on Sunday morning, but does your faith make a difference in your life? In your everyday walk? In the way you talk? In the way you carry about in actions that you do? Or reactions because of things that happen in your life? Does your faith make a difference in the way you live? James has started out chapter 2, and he's given us the root of spiritual life, which is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will remember that James was the first pastor at the church at Jerusalem that our Lord started. Persecution hit. Believers were scattered. Some stayed behind. The apostles stayed behind. And James, with the pastor's heart, reaches out to these people, these believers. These who are professing faith in Christ, and some who profess faith, but that's all they do is profess faith, and they do not possess saving faith. They have faith, but it's not a saving faith. There are people in our day and time who have faith, but they do not have saving faith. In other words, the faith has not made an effect upon their lives where their hearts have been changed and they are leaning upon Jesus Christ and they seek to glorify Him in their daily life. As persecution hit, James reaches out to them and he told them to count it all joy when these trials come into your life. In other words, God's got a purpose and God's got a plan. Call upon Him. And don't waver when you call, but call upon Him in faith, trusting in Him. He tells us in chapter 2, concerning this faith of Christ, the faith of Christ, which is in the heart and life of every believer, the faith. This faith that he talks about, he brings up a certain topic that there is a certain line of conduct that is inconsistent with this faith. This certain line of conduct is what we would call partiality or favoritism, or let me put it in a different language, unkindness to others. When you show unkindness to others, you are showing partiality. And the Word of God condemns that. It calls it wickedness. It is inconsistent with the faith. James speaks about how our faith is not just a mental assent. What do I mean by that? The word assent means to agree with certain facts. Salvation is not just agreeing with certain doctrinal facts. That's part of it, but that's not what faith is. Listen to the word of God in chapter 2 and down in verse 14. James introduces this passage with a couple questions. And he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and has not works? Can faith save him?" If you say you believe, you have faith, but you do not have works, is your faith saving faith? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled," notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well." The devils believe and tremble. This passage of Scripture deals with how many people in James's day and time, as well as in our day and time, and down through all the centuries, many people have made a false profession of faith. Just simply believing certain facts, but there's not been a heart change. There's not been a conviction of sin. In dealing with children, you can get children to agree to certain facts. But let me tell you, if the Spirit of God is not dealing with a child, do not say they made a profession of faith just because they say they believe in Jesus. We get a lot of false profession if we're not careful. And because of this, a lot of people think they're on the way to heaven and they're living like the devil. This is a very serious topic. A passage of Scripture I often read, Jesus spoke over in Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus said in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out demons?" King James says devils, but it's demons. There's one devil. "And in your name done many wonderful works." Jesus says, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Salvation is by grace through faith. We believe that with all of our heart. We find it in Scripture, and it's kind of like the ink is lit up. It's fluorescent when you read the Word of God, when you read about how one is saved. It's by faith in Christ alone. There's no doubt about that. We believe that with all of our heart. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, "But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. But here it sounds like a contradiction what James is saying. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and has not works, can faith save him? What is looking like a contradiction is no contradiction. If you think there's a contradiction, the contradiction is between your ears and not in the Word of God. Paul is talking about before conversion. Your works have nothing to do with salvation. Paul saying you cannot add works to salvation. You're saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. What James is talking about is after your confession of faith, do you have works? If your faith does not produce works, what James is saying is your faith is useless. It's lifeless. Your faith is dead if you do not have works. You see, works are a result of genuine faith. That's why he asked the question. What does it profit, brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Is there any profit in faith if works do not follow faith? Can your faith save you if it has not works? One of the things in salvation we must really understand, you've got to understand the issue of sin. In dealing with young ones, here is right where I go to, is the issue of sin, because a lot of times kids do not understand the full concept of how sinful sin is. Sin is infinitely hateful to God. God hates sin. And its nature is utterly inconsistent with true happiness. Sin brought death. You want to know why infants die? Little babies die. Toddlers sometimes die. Adults, young adults, older adults. The reason we die is because of sin. Sin has come into this world, and death by sin. Now, that does not mean an infant starts sinning and God takes the life of the infant. It's because of sin, and sin is passed down to everyone born of man, that death is entered into this world. We've all got an appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die. Sin is exceedingly sinful. Because of sin, Jesus Christ came into this world to save his people from their sin. Salvation is in Christ only. You see, when Christ died upon the cross, he took upon himself our sins. You see how exceedingly sinful sin is. It's because of your sin Christ went to the cross. Imagine this. Having a faith that would allow you to continue to indulge in your sins and all your sinful tendencies. Can you imagine a faith like that? Let me tell you, your faith is dead if you think your faith allows you to indulge in your sinfulness and sinful tendencies. What James does as a pastor, he gives an illustration. The illustration, I want you to notice what the Word of God says in verses 15 through 17. He says once again, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, in other words, without anything to eat, one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give him not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit a man? Or what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. Being alone. I want you to notice this illustration. I'm not going to use anyone in here as an example, but I'll use myself as an example. I would not want to embarrass anyone. But imagine your pastor came to your door in the winter time, and he is, the Word of God says, naked. That means scantily clothed or completely bare. Imagine I came to your door in the winter time, freezing cold. I didn't have anything to eat. And you would say something like this to me, "The Lord be with you. Stay warm. Be filled." And then you shut the door. That's a very harsh illustration. I do not believe anybody in here would treat me that way. I pray they wouldn't. But here's what James is saying. If you do not have works that follow your faith, if your faith does not change your heart to give you a giving heart, a loving heart, a heart that pursues holiness, your faith is useless. It's lifeless. It's a dead faith. Now notice who James is talking about. He says in verse 14, "Though a man say he has faith." He's talking about someone who says they're a believer. He says about this person, they say they have faith. James is speaking to someone who claims to be a Christian. There are many people who profess the name of Christ, but their faith is not seen. In Titus 1 and verse 16, it talks about these type of people. It says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate or worthless." In other words, there are certain people who believe, as the Scripture says, in vain. Their belief is empty. Saving faith produces works. We often quote the passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." Now hear what Paul is saying, because we often quote up to that point and we stop. But if you continue reading that passage of Scripture, what you find is Paul is in perfect agreement with James and James with Paul, simply because the Holy Spirit is giving them both the Word of God to write, and we are reading it in our day and time. The Word of God says in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them." In other words, if you're a child of God, God has prepared works that you should walk in way before you even trusted Him as God. In other words, real, genuine faith produces works. It's not a lifeless faith, which is void of good works. Notice what Jude, the brother of James, says over in Jude chapter 12, or not chapter 12, but verse 12. The Word of God says, "These are spots in your feast of charity or love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water." He's talking about people who profess Christ, but they possess not salvation. "Trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." Let me tell you, if you're not rooted in Christ, you're not going to produce any fruit. The fruit here in Jude 12, it talks about, comes from the life of the Spirit of God dwelling within the child of God. If the Spirit of God is dwelling within you, let me tell you, there is going to be some changes and there's going to be some differences in your life and there's going to be some action in your life. You hear what I'm saying? If the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, there's going to be some difference in your life than the way that the world is. In our day and time, it's sad to say, but there are a lot of people who profess Christ. They look just like the world. They act like the world. They dress like the world. They talk like the world. You might say, what do you mean dressed like the world? I'm not going in detail. If you look like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, you are the world. Jesus said, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 5. In John the 5th chapter, down in verse 28. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus is not saying you're going to heaven by your good works. Here's what he's saying. Look back in verse 25. Or 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus is saying you're saved by faith. And if your faith has saved you and it's genuine faith, it's going to produce good works. It is they that have done good, they're going to be the ones who partake in the resurrection of life. Listen to what it says over in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John, the second chapter, and down in verse 5. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We are to walk like our Lord Jesus Christ. John said basically the same thing James said. Look in chapter 3 and verse 17 in 1 John 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, that is action or works, and in truth. What John is saying is the same thing James said. Faith without action is dead. Faith with no action is useless. He gives a hypothetical situation. James does in chapter 2. And notice what he says in verse 18. Yea, or yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You know what? You can be doctrinally correct and still lost and on your way to hell. Notice what James says in verse 19. You remember the Shema. Found over in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. That was one of the favorite sayings, one of the pronounced sayings over and over by Jews. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. So James alludes to the heart of that saying. And he says in verse 19, you believe that there is one God. Well, you think that got the Jewish attention? The Jews that had converted to Christianity or said they had faith? You believe there's one God? You do well. But notice what he says, the devils also believe and tremble. When the Word of God says the devils believe and tremble, it literally means to shudder or to bristle, shiver. You notice how demons reacted when Jesus came into their presence when he walked upon this earth. One of the very interesting things in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, demonic activity was big time exposed. You don't read about it a lot in the Old Testament. You don't read about it a lot after Jesus has died, was buried, resurrected, and is in heaven. It was predominant and prevalent when Jesus walked upon this earth. And the demons feared Jesus Christ. They shivered at him. They were scared to death. They believe there's one God. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They had doctrine that was pretty accurate. Matter of fact, their doctrine might have been better than some people in churches today. Woo. Let me tell you this, there are no demons that are atheists. They believe there's a God. What is it that keeps demons from going to heaven if they believe? They have faith. You say you have faith. What's the difference between your faith and the faith of a demon? Let me tell you very simply. Demons do not repent. Fallen angels do not turn from their wicked ways. They are condemned, and the place of fire is prepared for them. Demons cannot repent. There is no change in their heart from rebellion to submission. There is no change in their heart from hate to love. There is no repentance in their life. So you see, a key to saving faith is a change of heart. It's not just a belief. You believe in God, you do well. Even the demons believe. And they fear and tremble. How can you tell if your faith is genuine? This morning, how can you tell if your faith is a saving faith? You know what? Even lost people do good works as far as helping people, charity and this type thing. So how can you tell if your faith is genuine? Let me give you one little point that you might examine your faith by. Is your life being lived in a direction of holiness? Did you hear me? Is your life being lived in a direction of holiness? I'm not saying you're perfect. You might fall, but when you get up, is your life being drawn toward being pleasing to God, desiring to glorify Him and live for Him? The Word of God says, pursue peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Is your life marked with a desire for holiness? You know what? You cannot do that
in and of yourselves.
It takes the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. And the only way the Holy Spirit of God would dwell within a person is if they turn from their sin, they repent, they have a change of mind, change of direction, a change of heart. There is a conviction that they have offended a holy and righteous God, and they cry out to mercy. Mercy. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And when you cry out to God for mercy, you have turned from your wickedness, you by faith trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply what Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can finish this sentence. And thou shalt be saved. We believe in salvations by grace through faith. But a profession of faith is nothing if there is no conviction of sin. You must see your sinfulness and need of a Savior. Is your life marked by holy living, holy conversation? I'm not talking perfection. I'm talking about the general bent of your life is seeking to live for the glory of God. We're going to give a hymn of invitation. If your faith is without works, and I'm not talking about doing goody things, I'm talking about living to glorify God. If your life is missing that, you need Christ in your heart. You need to turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in Him. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is very easy just to believe in facts and to repeat facts back, and even the demons can do that. And even we can do that. Father, I pray that each one here this morning would examine their hearts to see if they really have the faith of Jesus Christ. Lord, only You can save. Work in our midst to Your honor and glory for Christ's sake. Amen. If anyone in here this morning, as we sing a hymn of invitation, if God has convicted you maybe of a false profession or a false confidence, a false faith, a faith that has not changed your life, and you have concerns and questions, Brother Josh is up here, ready to answer any questions, have prayer with you. We're here to minister, to help. As we sing a hymn of invitation, would you simply respond to the Spirit of God?